Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bitter film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor of K, joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And we've got a guest with us today, a certain Mr.
Ryan Chisholm.
How's it going, Ryan? You alright?
Yeah, very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
That's alright, it's cool. I always see you sort of knocking around in the Facebook group every now and again and chatting and that kind of thing. So, I mean, are you a big horror movie person?
So, I ignored the genre for so many years because growing up, I was always watching the horrors that were pretty crap, like the, you know, the typical teen horrors.
Yeah.
And it was a few years ago watching It Follows, it kind of woke me. I was like, wow, there's like so much of the horror genre I've been missing out on.
Yeah.
So, the last few years, I'm a big fan and catching up, really.
Oh, okay. So what would you say It Follows, and is there any other ones that have like really kicked you in the nutsack and you're like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I like the Ari Aster films. I didn't like Hereditary the first time I saw it, but the second time I really took it in and shitted it.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele's kind of just the obvious new ones really have really got to me, but then yeah, I've gone back and watched some old ones. The Evil Dead remake, absolutely loved that one.
Yeah, it's great, it's fantastic. Yeah, cool. What are you right, Ben? How you doing?
Good times. I'm all right, mate. Just taking it all in, realizing how similar we all look.
Yeah,
we've got
yeah,
like a little yeah. bit, a little bit of beard. We're all follically challenged. You know, we got to stick together, us guys.
Yeah.
Has Luke actually got a camera on? I can only see Ben.
Oh, yeah, I have got my camera on, but I don't know if I don't know. I have got it on, I think, haven't I?
I'll just look at Ben the whole time.
Yeah, you won't want to you want to see him.
Maybe. Makes no difference. We both look the same.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, which person am I?
Ben, but the other way.
If we put our heads together, we'd look like a dog trio.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's it. Which one's which? They're all the same, aren't they? They're all the bloody same.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so is there any news going on? What's cracking on? I mean, I know there's the big news, but is there any sort of smaller, less
what's the big
scary
what's
news?
The bloody big news? Less scary news.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of news. Like I've been scouring the web, the world wide web, looking for news that isn't scary. When I've seen loads of scary news, but all of it's real
that's
life.
A scary one.
Yeah, the whole of the news is scary at the moment.
Yeah, so a lot of it, mainly just things getting cancelled and things not happening anymore. But like, I don't know what point it can get to now where something's going to get cancelled and I'm going to be shocked in any way. Mm-hmm. Like, Glastonbury got cancelled. It's like, right, yeah, expected that. Everything, yeah. So films are getting cancelled. Obviously,
our team to the Olympics now. They're not going.
Oh,
bad news,
our
guys.
Team. Yeah. Oh, you mean
not me? Not my. Team. Not me yeah. and you.
We've been training them all year, and they can't go anymore. They're going to be so disappointed. Yeah. They're going to be fuming.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, it's just things getting cancelled. Like Walking Dead series is like stopping. They're stopping being made. There's films obviously that have made and ready to take in. Mm-hmm. So like A Quiet Place 2, which has been suspended indefinitely. Do you think? Obviously, some studios this week have been releasing films on demand. Invisible Man, The Hunt, for example. Do you think that's going to happen to films like that? Or do you think things like A Quiet Place are too big a release for them to hedge their bets?
Who knows now? I mean, how long is this thing going to go on? Cinemas now, like, you can't go into them. They're closed. You could try. You can get in there if you really try. But there's nothing on. Yeah. So, I mean, I've made it clear that, like... I've made it clear that I don't know if I agree with this sort of releasing online thing, because it's going to take all that dollar away from the cinemas, and the cinemas are probably already struggling a bit anyway. So
this week we saw that Cineworld have apparently like laid off loads of staff. So they've laid off staff who apparently who were like full time and had worked there a certain amount of time. So they didn't. I wasn't sure. I kind of just saw the headline. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean.
Even if this kind of like blows over in a few months, which I probably won't, but you know, the optimist in me thinks it might, then Cineworld's like screwed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of feel like they should hold back the films and just release them properly when the time comes. But I don't know if that's going to happen, because this is going to go on way longer than I thought it would. So they just need to get these films out now, because...
What has everybody been doing in quarantine then, currently?
I watched The Platform on Netflix.
Oh, is that good? I saw a review on that, but it looks all right.
I really enjoyed that. It was for an hour and a half film, it was a bit slow. Like everything about it was interesting.
Oh, this has taken like an hour and a half.
Longer than it was.
Go on, sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, obviously it's only an hour and a half. But because it's all in one location, it did drag a bit, but you know, most of it was good.
So. Where was the location? What was the location?
They're in a vertical prison underground.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
is it an English film? Is it English language?
No. So it's in Spanish, but when you load it up on Netflix originally, the default option is English dub. And it wound me up straight away, because obviously the link's lip sync was all off.
Yeah. You didn't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. It's a little bit, it can be a little bit frustrating. I didn't really know much about that film until you mentioned it on Twitter. So I probably will check it out, seeing this is on Netflix. Is it like a new release? Like it's just come out on Netflix?
I think the trailer came out about a week or 2 weeks ago, and then it just went straight to Netflix on Friday.
Sweet. Very nice. Have you been watching anything else, Ryan? Is that it, really? What, horror related or anything else?
Rewatched The Invisible Man, because we were just talking about films being released on stream, so I did rent that, even though I'd already paid to see it in the cinema.
Yeah? Yeah, it's good. So, it's a really good one, that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
So you've seen it twice now?
Yeah, I did. So it was my housemate hadn't seen it. So we were going to go to see it at the cinema together. and then I was like, well, it's on demand now. Let's just get on this one.
Did the tension like hold up on a rewatch, even though you kind of knew where it was going?
For me, it didn't. Because I knew it, because we were watching it on my TV in the living room rather than in the cinema, and I knew what was coming, it was less tense. I think my housemate still said it was quite tense, but he was on his phone a little bit, as you would be when you're watching a film at home rather than the cinema. So I do think that might have taken it away a little bit, but... He still enjoyed it, and I liked it on the second time. So,
yeah.
I think I rewatched that one. Probably leave it a little bit longer first.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like that long ago since I watched it, but yeah, that was cool. Have you watched anything, Luke of Condor?
I don't know. I feel like I've watched a lot of Hell's Kitchen, but that's sort of accidental.
accidental.
Well, you just kind of sit down and you just. Accidentally press play on an episode of Hell's Kitchen, and then it's on for hours. It doesn't stop. It's just constantly on.
Is this because it's playing more than one episode? That episode isn't 4 hours long. It's just more than one. You know that, right?
I wonder why the people kept changing every 13 hours or so.
Hang on a minute. Who's this lot?
There was actually a tweet about that I saw online. Like someone's granddad was like watching Netflix, and didn't know that it wasn't a film. So he was just like, oh, I was up for ages watching that. I just didn't finish. So that's you, Luke. Like, the episode's just rolling on. You're like, who's going to win Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Are you still, know, are you still Hell's watching? Kitchen.
Do they win?
They
are you
do.
Still watching they, this?
Everyone wins, in a way. But yeah. Apart from the ones that get eaten by Gordon Ramsay. But yeah. It's what else did I do? So I watched that. I played Shadow of the Colossus, which is the remake on the PlayStation 4. Which, yeah. If you don't know, is about a guy, like a little elf man who has a dead wife or a dead girlfriend, and he travels to these cursed lands, and he makes a deal with this unseen, bodiless voice that he's going to kill these 16 colossus. We were sort of scattered around these lands, and then he's going to bring his wife back. And it's a beautiful, like, sparse, amazing game. It is amazing, but man, is it frustrating. Like, there's like a horse who you press X to climb on the horse, but then it doesn't climb on the horse. It just like somersaults over him. Like, there's so many. The camera angles kind of force their way to like they force you to look at the pretty bits of the game, which is fine, but if you want to look a certain way, you want to look a certain way. And yeah, I don't know, I very nearly quit because I was just so frustrated with it, but it's good, it's a good game, you should play it.
Yeah,
Shadow of Colossus.
Yeah
I've got it lined up. Did I mention the Resident Evil 3 demo last week? Did I mention that? I don't think I did, because it came out on Thursday.
You did a playthrough, right?
Yeah, I did a little playthrough. It's pretty short. Like, you could probably smash through it in, you know, if you were really rushing through it, you could probably do it in like 10 minutes. Take your time a bit, maybe like triple that. But yeah, it's seems really good. A bit more action orientated than Resident Evil 2. Nemesis turns up near the end. Yeah, it's good.
I like how I like you can do that move. There's like a move in this one where it's like when you thought there was another step. But there isn't a step.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly that. Or when you do it and your soul leaves your body. When you're like walking down the stairs in the morning and then you miss it. Soul leaves your body. You can do that. And you know, it's handy because I find in Resident Evil 2, like,
yeah,
the zombies have got such reach that it almost feels unfair. Like, you're trying to dodge things. I find that reaching really and grabbing you.
It's like a game of Tig. Do you call it Tig in Bristol?
What's that? Like tag?
Tag?
Yeah, we call it Tig here. Yeah. I guess.
Dig. Anyone learn different?
Tug. It's a different game. But anyway, Tig. So. yeah, so the zombies, like, Resident Evil 2, when you're running away and you see their hands sort of creeping into the camera from behind. Yeah, that's it's a good creepy feel, that.
It was good. What have I watched? Have I told you what I've watched? I'll tell you what I've watched. So I watched. I watched a film called Swallow.
Oh yeah, wait. Tell us about this last time, didn't you? Did you? Maybe we spoke to each other every day this week.
Yeah. So maybe I've spoken. Right, there we go. I've spoken about Swallow already. See, the days are already merging into one.
No, I don't know if you have on the podcast. I don't know. Okay, all right.
I have spoken about it on the podcast. I have. I've just checked the date. Just checked the date. Okay.
Yeah, so I saw you tweet about it. I think last Monday, because that's when I realized it was actually available to watch.
Yeah. So I'll skip through that. So I did watch a film called Guns Akimbo with cool. Daniel Radcliffe. It's like a cross between Crank and Shoot 'Em Up, which are both like obviously utterly, utterly ridiculous.
I quite like Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah, I quite like Shoot 'Em Up as well.
There's a bit of Shoot 'Em Up where he's like trying to shoot something, but he can't quite focus, and he bites a carrot. And everything comes into focus.
Yeah. Eat your greens.
Anything I can remember about Shoot 'Em Up is something to do with a carrot. Like, yeah. I don't remember anything else.
It's the best moment. Mm. Yeah.
So this was like, it was all right. It was kind of interesting. It was quite a bit of fun. Samara Weaving's in it, and she's like amazing in everything, I've decided now. So since Ready or Not, since like The Babysitter, now we've got Guns Akimbo. She is just like,
she is
kicks
amazing.
All kinds of ass in this. It's kind of like got some stylistic choices in it that feel a bit dated in this. Mm. It feels a bit like, you remember when like Scott Pilgrim came out, mm-hmm. and then after that, all the films had like these little pop-up, you know, text messages or various things, scores, yeah. and you know, various things like that. It feels like it's going for that, even though, like, I guess sort of 10 years too late. Daniel Radcliffe's fine. It was, you know, it's sort of like maybe outstays its welcome a little bit, even though it's only an hour and a half long. Do you know one of those films that kind of feels like, all right, I'm kind of itching now. I kind of want it to finish.
Wasn't it made quite a few years ago, though, and just taken this long to come out?
Yeah, I think I've heard that. I think it's that been a couple of years.
Explain why it was maybe like they've gone for a bit of an older style. Like maybe at the time they made it, it was, yeah, this is the cool hip thing to do. And then they sat on it for ages and then they released it and they're like, ah, that's not cool anymore.
Okay, so. And I also watched Cabin Fever.
So oh, yeah.
In there. Yeah.
So I guess we chose to watch this because, well, literally just live now during the show, we found out that we're going to be going into lockdown this week in the UK. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of time to develop cabin fever, hopefully not a flesh-eating virus, but maybe something similar. How do you feel about watching films like this when you're living in a situation like this? So a lot of people are watching Contagion this week.
Yeah, that's
on my list. Various things. I kind of thought Contagion, maybe World War Z, maybe a few other things, and kind of this.
Gives you a bit of escapism, doesn't it? Contagion is a weird one because that's meant to be very realistic, right? So you'd watch that, and I imagine you'd go, oh, we're all fucked. But yeah. Cabin Fever.
I can't remember how it ends. I can't remember how Contagion ends, whether it ends with, like, actually, it's going to be all right, or if they go, actually, you're all fucked.
I don't know. I've never actually seen it.
I saw it in the cinema, but I can't remember it now, so that's why I'll rewatch it this week.
I can't remember it very well either. But yeah, so I guess Cabin Fever is escapism because we're not at the... There are no homicidal locals trying to get in our houses. We're not...
Yep.
Big chunks of our skin aren't falling off yet. There might be something that happens in the near future. Exactly. They've not done enough testing yet, have they? So, pretty scary stuff.
Well, so, go on. Have you got some information or...?
Sure. So, Cabin Fever is a 2002 American horror comedy film. Would you say comedy? I guess.
Yeah, I would.
Co-written and directed by Eli Roth in his directorial debut. It stars Ryder Strong, Jordan Ladd, what a lad, James DeBello, Serena Vincent, Joey Kern, and Giuseppe Andrews. The story follows a group of college graduates who rent a cabin in the woods and begin to fall victim to a flesh-eating virus. The inspiration for the film's story came from a real-life experience during a trip to Iceland where Roth developed a skin infection. God, he's bloody... Calm down, mate. Based on a true story, I had a rash on my arse once.
Did it say arse rash in the...
I've added that, but you know...
Probably.
It's probably likely, right?
So Rotten Tomatoes gave this a whopping 62% as the critic score. The audience gave it a 44%, which the critics liked it more, weirdly. Okay, and Letterboxd is sitting around 2.8 out of 5. So what's that, like a low C minus?
2.8 out of 5.
That's a low C? I don't know. This is way weirder than I remember it being. Like, it's not as straightforward as I think I thought it was. Have you seen it before?
I've seen it before, yeah, a long time ago. I don't remember hardly anything about it, but the tone of it, I kind of must have completely forgot.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff in this where I was just like, what? I kind of thought, as far as I remembered, it was sort of like a sort of teen horror style film. I didn't think of it anything else other than that. It's kind of got a bit of a comedy element to it, black comedy, a bit of ridiculous element. But yeah, how about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'd never seen it before, so it was the first time watching it. Comedy, I don't know if I... I can see where they're going for, because it's got that kind of... The characters have a kind of silly charm to some of them.
Not Dr. Mambo, but the guy that Eli Roth plays, the stoner. Kind of like he's a full-on.
He looks like a naughty, like, new metal band. Like, you could put him in a sound video, he would just fit it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't question it at all.
How does everybody feel about Eli Roth in general then? Because obviously he was, when he first sort of came onto the scene, he was like Quentin Tarantino's protege. A lot of people thought he was going to be the next big thing. And I mean, He's got some good films.
So what films have we got? So
yeah, the only one I can think of is Hostel.
Hostel was a big one, wasn't it? Okay.
Hostel 1 and 2. One thing I remember him is that he did the fake trailer for Thanksgiving, like in the Grindhouse films or in that Tarantino. Yeah. The Green Inferno, Knock Knock.
Green Inferno. Death Green Wish. Inferno is the first half an hour, first 5 minutes are pretty spot on, I think. But then weirdly the tone gets more similar to this, to Cabin Fever, when all the cannibals eat a load of weed and they all get super stoned. Yeah.
I've not actually seen Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves. Anybody seen that?
No.
No, I know of it, but yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's the one where the girls arrive at his house and...
Yeah, that's it.
Don't happen. Don't want any of that.
Don't want any of that, mate. Yeah, so I guess... I did just say he's done some good films, but I guess he's not really done any good films. He's kind of done... He's done films, but I wouldn't
Hostel.
Say...
Hostel's a good idea. I don't know if I can really remember it. But I think the concept is a killer.
The concept's a killer, but obviously now you go back to it after so many years of those sort of torture porn films that it's probably lost its impact.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I remember around the time it came out, and I was quite young, so I didn't watch it, but even just hearing the plot of it, and I remember it really stuck with me. So like Luke just said, it was a really good concept of the film, but I don't think they really pulled it off that well.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And films like that kind of have a certain amount of controversy around it, don't they? Where people go, oh my God, it's disgusting. It's so over the top and it's pretty much like a snuff movie. And obviously people go, is it? And then they watch it and then you're like, well, just the same as everything else really, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, I remember quite liking The Green Inferno because I find sort of cannibalism and cannibalism and stuff like that.
There's some horrific scenes in that as well.
Some good visuals as well.
Yeah,
and it's something a bit different, isn't it? Sort of taking place in the middle of an island, like a tribe. Well, was it an island? Was it like South America or something?
Yeah.
So quite an interesting concept. But apart from that, I guess he hasn't really reached the heights that I guess people thought he would.
Hey, Ben.
Like horror royalty, go on.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Keon.
Keanu who?
Reeves.
Oh, yeah, it's him again. He's everywhere, isn't he? The Ageless Stranger.
That's classic.
That's another film that's been put on hold. Matrix 4. Jesus. How dare you?
Just put him in a.
How far into screen. Making it did they even get?
What was that?
You sound like you were
like, how far into it did they get? I didn't even know they'd begun production on it.
I'd seen a couple of sort of things from the set. I reckon they'd done two scenes. They'd done two scenes and they were like, this coronavirus is shutting us down. We've only done two scenes. Get yourselves home. Everybody locked down at Keanu's place.
They'll do it all remotely. Everyone will just Skype in their recordings. The Matrix.
On a green screen.
Yeah. And they could probably do that with today's technology.
Yeah. Oh
God, yeah. How long until we see the first film made entirely remotely?
Is that requested 2 years? I guess.
There is question. 2 years. Come on, Luke, you can knock one up in your garage in an afternoon, surely.
I can try. Okay. Right. So we got in this film. We got Ryder Strong, who I remember is the friend in Boy Meets World. Who...
The lead guy. Yeah, that guy. Jordan Ladd. That's actually a woman.
Called Karen.
Sorry. Yeah.
These guys were all okay, weren't they? I think, who's the louder guy? He's got the fourth wheel. Fifth wheel, even.
Yeah, you know I recognise that guy. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
He just looks like a sort of filler on any teen movie.
Yeah, so I think when you watch like The Cabin in the Woods, and like that film is obviously riffing off the stereotypes, this film kind of very much leans into the stereotypes.
Yeah,
because you kind of got like the stoner, the jock type guy. I guess both of the girls are kind of like just.
Well, there's the blonde and there's the brunette.
There's a blonde and there's a brunette. You got a blonde, right? What more do you want?
Yeah, personalities.
Tell me something about her personality. Well, she's blonde. What more do you want? And there's a brunette as well. Bloody hell. Got enough of this going on.
I think they do lean into more stereotypes that you've got. Like the brunette is more of like the kind of the modelly cheerleader type one, and then the blonde one is the more the girl next door type. You know, the one that the main guy's kind of always had a crush on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a slight difference in them.
Were there any like characters that had any redeemable traits in it? Because the lead is like definitely a sex offender. We're pretty much
yeah.
That's pretty much established at some point.
So I'm like, to bring that up.
So I'm like, who am I rooting for here? Like, am I rooting for the sex offender? Am I rooting for like the psychopath, the guy who's like a coward who just like runs away for half of it?
I think we're supposed to root for the police boy, the one with the sort of the ratty mustache.
Oh, really? I kind of thought he was a bit.
He's
I kind of thought he was
character.
A bit of a.
He's a surprise protagonist. Yeah.
He was also a bit nonce. He was definitely involved in some underage drinking at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're underage, right?
No. I think what we're supposed to be rooting for, the true protagonist of this, is the flesh eating disease.
Yeah.
Is it, it hasn't even got a name, is it?
The cabin fever. You know, the cabin fever from Cabin Fever.
Yeah. Cabin feveritis. It's, so, I mean, this story, the plot itself is really weird, I thought. It doesn't really seem to have a proper narrative structure. Like, it just seems to introduce the concepts and a bunch of stuff happens. Characters go off and do their own thing, and characters introduced, and then things die, and people die, and then it didn't seem to have, nothing seems to have actual consequences that sort of push the narrative through, if that makes sense.
It kind of feels like it's got a bit of a moral to the story, which I guess is...
Don't go to cabins.
Someone, even if they've got a don't go to cabins, but even if someone's got a flesh-eating disease where it looks like they're spewing blood, if they're asking for help, don't beat the shit out of them. I got
the impression that you should beat the shit out of them quicker and better. Like, you just don't want to get serious.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you let him get in the car, he starts spewing up everywhere. I mean, I don't know how these people got sick. It was in the water, so I guess it wasn't that guy's fault.
To be fair, they could have caught this a multitude of ways, couldn't they? I don't think it's just the water. If it kind of make you feel like you don't want to drink water anymore, like, I'm not drinking any water anymore. I'm just going to be drinking only Fanta from now on.
Oasis Red.
Only Oasis Red. You're going to be brushing your teeth with it. You're going to be having a bath in it.
Yeah. Okay, so the film starts. We've got our main character, the cabin fever. And it starts out, we go see it, but it's in a dead dog. That's how it's like humble roots inside a dead dog. And then this guy's like trying to the hermit guy. I don't know if he's got a name.
Henry. His name's Henry.
Oh yeah, no, there is. Yeah,
Henry the Hermit. Henry the Hermit. Yeah. Okay, Henry the Hermit's trying to feed his dead dog, but the dog's dead.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
It's weird. It definitely doesn't look alive, unless so when he. Why is its middle all open? Where does this fever come from? Like, we don't actually find out, right? We never find out what is the cause.
I don't think we ever find out, no. Which is why the film kind of like hints towards, you know, a sequel where I guess... Okay. I mean, there is a sequel, isn't there? There is a sequel. So I don't know where we find out something about it then, whether it was created in a lab, whether it was, you know, whatever, whether a dog's insides just exploded one day and then that's what happened.
I mean, it's probably just the dog ate some shit. Or something. Doug must have ate something.
He ate his own shit.
That's why you get cabin fever. Okay, so the Henry opens up the dog and he gets splashed in the face. And then we cut to, that's like our opening gambit, and then we cut to our main characters, college students getting ready for some cabin fun. I mean, it must be like an American staple. They must always go to cabins, right? I've never done it.
Yeah. So apparently it's to celebrate spring break. So clearly, I mean, with all this current virus stuff. I don't know if you saw some guys celebrating spring break and still going out and socially and like mixing socially. And then there was a story like literally 2 days later, which was 15 confirmed cases of people from spring break have got coronavirus. Clearly, just spring break is bad. Spring break is bad for everybody. No matter how you're celebrating it, you're going to get some sort of disease, whether it's a skin-eating infection or coronavirus. Just stay away from spring break, because we don't really have spring break in this country, do we? Well, I mean, what is the equivalent of that? Easter holidays.
Harvest Festival, I was going to say.
Harvest Festival. Such a British thing. Spring break!
Maypole dancing.
Spring break, chug, chug, chug. The UK equivalent is Harvest Festival. There's a tin of tomatoes for you.
But then again, chug, I think the drinking culture in the UK is so much bigger than anywhere else anyway. That's why like, we don't need to have, like, if we just kill ourselves off,
we're already drunk.
Added to what we've already got.
Yeah.
We're already drunk. We don't need a bloody spring break. There's another reason to do it. Have a bit of downtime. Has anybody else, this is maybe the third time I mention it now, but has anybody during this quarantine period like been drinking a lot more? It feels like that time between Christmas.
Yesterday about 3 o'clock, crack a beer open. Yeah, yesterday at 3 o'clock, I popped open a beer and I just fell asleep after that. It's just,
what kind of consequences is this going to be on the world? I mean, I guess we're already screwed. So
yeah,
whatever happens. If you've got to do it drunk, then you've got to do it drunk.
Yeah. So our teenagers, they get to the cabin. Oh no, they stop off at like a petrol station, which is the standard. You have to do that in a cabin horror movie.
Yeah.
There's like a little kid with like a mullet or something, like
Pat Sharp. It's Pat Sharp from Funhouse. It's his son.
Matt Sharp. And Matt Sharp is like sat there. on this like a porch thing, and then someone, I can't remember who it is, I think it's the guy from Paul.
The main character, yeah.
So Paul. He sits next to him and he pats him on the head or something. And he offers him a satsuma, and Matt Sharp bites him. I don't know, why he bites him.
And then the guy comes out and says, "Everybody knows you shouldn't sit next to Pat or Matt Sharp."
Everything is. You shouldn't sit next to Pat Sharp. That's why we did his hair like that. So you might think he was Pat Sharp and not sit there.
Oh, man. Yeah. So then that kind of just happens, doesn't it? And then they end up going to the cabin. There's not much.
There's a bit more.
They're gone.
Because they go into the shop with like, the guy that's owning it. And they're like, like, what's this for? And they're like, oh, that's for this. And then they spot a gun. And don't worry, I'm not going to say it. But they were like, what's that for? And then there's like, obviously, a blatant bit of racism when he's like, that's for the.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say
that's
it.
That's for the bloody Edwards.
And it starts to sort of kind of initially show off that these are the backwards people who
you
know, they're idiots, but dangerous.
I didn't expect it to be a setup for anything, though.
No, me neither.
I didn't expect that. I thought it was just a throwaway bit. You know, we're supposed to think, these bloody backwards people living in the sticks. Bless them.
So they get to the cabin, and who we got? So Marcy, and I think it's Bert, who has lovely blonde hair. They get to it pretty much straight away, and he gets a thumb up the bum, I believe.
Yeah, yep. He likes it though. He really likes it.
Yeah.
Wasn't his name Jeff, the blonde guy?
Oh, have I got him mixed up? Oh, okay, yeah. So Jeff.
Yeah,
but Draco Malfoy.
The Draco Malfoy gets a thumb up the bum, and at the same time, Bert's the sort of jockey sort of guy. I guess I don't know what he is really, but he's got a gun and he's shooting.
He's like a jock slash just too over the top and loud. Like if you were mates with him, you'd just be like, just chill out for 5 minutes, mate.
Yeah.
Just chill out for 5 minutes, please. Trying to have a lovely chat here.
Yeah. And then we've got Paul and Karen, the our main character and the girl next door type. They're sort of, I think they go to the lake or something and they're sort of floating around and he's perving on her. pretty strongly. Yeah. But they're friends.
He's doing a lot of perving. He's doing a lot of perving a lot of the time, isn't he?
Yeah.
It seems really outdated now, because like they try to set it up like he's this kind of romantic character who's really, he just has a crush on this girl for a long time. But the way it goes about it is really quite just not right.
It's weird to think that it's 18 years old, this film. Is it? Yeah, 18 years old. That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a bit where Bert is like shooting squirrels, isn't he? He's shooting squirrels. He's out with his gun. Is it? I mean, it's like a proper rifle, isn't it? It's not like an air rifle or anything. He's going around with a proper gun shooting squirrels. And he shoots the hermit, who is obviously a lot more disfigured and bloated and bloody than he was when we saw him originally.
Yeah, he's got really bad eczema. It's like his face is like peeling off and bleeding.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And oozing and stuff, and he's like, I just want a can of coke. What's it? I don't know, he wants a friend or he doesn't want to get shot. That's what he wants. I just want to not get shot.
Don't shoot me. He's like, have you got any pseudocreme for my sores? I have a little bit. We've got pseudocreme, but it's all ours. Okay, get out of here. You don't want this.
So Bert accidentally shoots him against the man's wishes. And
you bloody shot me. Sorry, did you not want that?
I specifically told you not to shoot me.
Oh, I thought you said shoot me. Okay, so he runs away or something. Bert gets in the car and drives away. I don't know. Bert escapes and he doesn't tell anyone.
Because
what could you say? Hi, guys. Yeah. I shot
him. He doesn't tell anyone. It's almost like he doesn't tell anyone just because plot. Because what you need to turn up later and scare everybody, I guess. I don't know. It's all a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah. And then that night they gather around a campfire.
Oh, that's okay. It. Yeah. This is when Eli Roth turns up. It's weird that he cast himself in this film in this role. Although he does do pretty well. He's Dr. Mambo. He's got like a really over the top stoner voice.
Hey, man. Yeah. And he definitely does look like a cross between someone from a new metal band and who else. He looks a little bit like the singer from what are they called? All Star. Well, it's a band who did All Star. Why can't I figure what they're called?
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, Smash Mouth. He looks a little bit like not quite as chunky singer from Smash Mouth.
I was getting some Wes Borland vibes as well. A bit of Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Sort of vibes.
Oh yeah.
Did he have a soul patch? In my head, he's got a soul patch.
Yeah, he had like quite a long one.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe in isolation, we need to all bring back the soul patch.
I don't think I'd grow it there properly, or like it doesn't grow heavily. I don't know.
Yeah, mine's a bit blonde, but you know, maybe I'll do it. Maybe we'll see what happens.
He's got a dog, like an Alsatian, I think.
What's the dog called? Like Doctor something.
Doctor Mambo.
That's what the dog's called, Dr. Mambo.
Yeah, he's pronounced it.
Hey, Dr. Mambo. Don't worry about Dr. Mambo.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. And he does. They obviously all pretty much want him to leave until he says he's got a big old bag of weed. I mean, like a huge bag of weed. Too big a bag of weed.
Yeah.
Comically big. And they're like, oh, actually, maybe you could stay for a bit. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so but it rains. He goes. I mean, I guess it's just setting up the stuff for the dog later on. But anyway, so he goes. And I think it's that night or later that night, I guess, when they get attacked by the hermit.
Yeah, the hermit. What's the hermit been doing all this time? He's been shot. He's been laying in the...
Stumbling his way to the cabin.
Yeah.
Stumbling his way to the cabin, yeah. And he's like begging for help.
He's like melting by this point. He's like that guy in RoboCop who gets a radioactive waste. Maybe not quite as bad, but...
He looks covered from head to toe in Dolmio. He's just...
Yeah.
Ravioli man.
It's ragu. Yeah.
Don't worry, Andy. It's just bolognese.
We do get one moment just before he arrives, though, which I can see where they're going for in the comedy element, but it just seems really out of place.
No.
When they're all like swapping sex stories, and Bert, the kind of the dumb guy, talks about the experience he's had with his dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't he say something like he was jerking off and the dog came and
licked his balls? Yeah, his dog started like licking his asshole.
I swear I've heard that as a stand-up routine. In a couple of places at some point before.
I mean, it's a great story, isn't it? It's a great story. When someone tells you that, you go, bloody hell, what a legend you are. Yeah. What a legend.
Yeah.
Indulging in bestiality just for kicks.
Yeah. Well.
Like, that's... Sorry, I can't get off the subject. I feel like if I was doing that and a dog even looked at me, I felt like it put me off.
Yeah. I wouldn't understand why you do it with a dog in the room.
Yeah, yeah, get out of here. Scratching to come back in. It's a long time. It's quite a long time.
Wait, so I must have missed out on this bit when he's talking about it, but I sort of vaguely remember him. But did he say he enjoyed it then? The dog was licking his ass and he enjoyed it. Does he go on about
it? Enjoyed it, yeah.
How did he invite the dog to do it next time? Did he go into that detail?
Peanut butter.
Butter.
Peanut butter on the gooch.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Well, from experience, Ben. Yeah. Or...
Who's to say?
What happens next? Well, the Bernie. No, what's his name? Henry. It's not Bernie. So Henry is like, help. And they start attacking him, beating him with sticks and stuff. And he's like, help. And they're like, we are. And they're beating him with sticks.
We're trying to beat the virus out of you.
If
we beat the virus out of you, then it'll be.
And he gets in the car and he starts like vomiting up jets of hot cabin fever juice all over the car, and they get him out. And then they're like, "We'll really help you this time," and they set him on fire. How does he set on fire?
Oh yeah. How does he end up on fire?
I think one of them's trying to scare him off with like a stick with a bit of fire on the end, like kind of like, ah, stay back, and they must catch him. And
it turns out all the bloody goo he's covered in is really highly flammable, and he goes up like a tinderbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they pretty much fuck it, don't they? He makes a big old mess. He's vomiting all inside the car. So like, we're pretty much screwed now. And then what happens after that? They just all
they go to bed.
They go to bed.
Okay. Might be that. No, it's not that. Well, the next morning, what's his name freaks out and takes the car. Bert takes the car. Is that right?
So I think what happens next is that there's a police deputy, Winston, comes up and he says he'll send a tow truck up there to basically help them get their car. But I think the car doesn't run at this stage. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it would. I don't know what they would have done to the
engine. This is like the weirdest police deputy ever. I mean, he's literally just some dude with a bike and a little tash. And I'm like, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. He's definitely drinking with underage girls.
Yeah, all he wants to do is party. He's like, go back inside and party, guys.
Go back inside and party. It's 11 a.m., all right? I haven't had my coffee yet.
The beans are boiling on the campfire as we speak.
Bloody beans, you want some beans? Yeah, and then but Karen's like upset after the obviously everything that happened with the hermit, and then but Paul manages to calm her down. So again, we're kind of made to think that Paul's like a nice sensitive type. He really does care about her, but then all of that is pretty much immediately thrown by the wayside as he commits sexual assault, where he's like, she's asleep, is she? That means she wants me to touch her vagina, definitely.
So whilst he's doing that,
Blase,
he realizes
he's doing that.
He realizes that she's all full of cabin fever. So she's like, it's a pretty horrific scene, I guess. So he lifts his hands out, and they're covered in blood. It's like, oh dear, oh dear, what do we do here? So he screams. I think, and then he runs away out of the bedroom.
Pulls back the blanket. We see she's got a big old horrible sore, like on the inside of her leg.
Yeah,
he goes to wash himself. I think there's blood all over the sink as well. So
there's a little poo, and then
the group do what they should do in a situation like this.
Beat her up.
Is immediately make sure she self isolates.
Yeah. In
a freezing cold, bare shed, with barely a shred of clothes on. Chuck her in there. Have you noticed how, like, angry Bert becomes, like, immediately at her? I think he starts calling her a whore.
Yeah.
You stupid, dumb whore!
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's overkill. Yeah. I mean, just invite her outside. I've got some nice treats. I've got some nice gummy bears here outside. Then chuck them out politely and nicely.
Isolate. So this is the classic thing where sort of obviously in a horror film when a group of close friends or a are they even close friends? I mean they don't seem it. But as soon as one becomes
really like each other.
No, they don't, do they? They bloody hate each other. Jesus Christ. They should have stayed at home for spring break. What was the point? So this is like the classic of when one of them gets bitten, I guess, by a zombie, and then you're like, right, we don't really want to kill them, but we wanna just keep them away from us because we don't want the infection. Stay in the shed. Yeah. So I like how when people obviously start getting the infection, I like how it deteriorates them because they automatically, they just look a little bit like dark under the eyes.
Yeah, within seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Within seconds. Pale, I guess, like a few like lesions on the face and all over. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like how you can sort of tell. You can tell someone's been infected before it's even essentially been revealed that they're infected.
I always feel like, you know, in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, you know, Matt Frewer, Max Headroom guy, his look of like the pre-zombie look is the pinnacle of that.
Yeah,
I'm
unwell. Sunken eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to watch that film again. It's a good film.
It's got a zombie baby in it.
Oh, it has, yeah. Lovely.
Very lovely.
So, okay, so Karen's in the shed. Bert steals the car, I believe, and he goes riding into town. We get this crazy scene where he goes back to the petrol station. Where is he going? He's going to get some... He's going to the hospital. He's going to get doctors. Okay. So he stops at the petrol station. Is that Pat Sharp? Is still sitting on that bench. Why does Pat Sharp like it's like some flying kicks?
Hello.
You know how I hate flying kicks. Oh,
why not, man? Why not? He's passing the time. It seems like he's sat on that porch all day, every day, isn't he? As soon as someone turns up, he shows off his kung fu skills
and bites somebody
with a skin-eating disease.
Yeah, but instantly, as soon as he bites in there, we're gone, right?
Maybe he's the real hero of the film, and like every time we cut back to him, he's learned more ninja moves.
Yeah.
Is actually just about him kind of getting, you know, his belt in ninja, whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're pretty good moves, though. I was pretty impressed by it.
Yeah, they're all right.
All right.
I give
one
them
out of four.
I give them a low 2.5.
Yeah, that's being generous.
No, it's good.
Oh my god! There's a weird bit. I thought I should mention this bit as well. There's a weird bit earlier where Jeff and Bert have a bet, like who can drink beer basically constantly during the trip. And we understand that obviously this comes into it because when we find out that the disease is spread through the water, we truly find out that Jeff has actually still been drinking just beer constantly. He hasn't consumed any water, which is why he doesn't contract the disease for as long as he does. There's a bit where he's terrified. He's scared of becoming infected, so he takes the beer and leaves. And kind of just walks off into the wilderness, I guess, to drink his beers.
He's like a big part of the film, doesn't he? And then,
yeah. Do you reckon they just like he had something to do during the filming where he's like, "We'll just write you out for this for a few, scenes." I gotta go to a family wedding. Sorry. Go ahead.
It shows how much they obviously don't like each other and don't have any loyalty for their friends. Because as soon as Jeff's away, Paul bangs his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, there's that weird scene where she's saying it's like we're in a playing forward to the ground, and I found that really arousing. Or she says if you're gonna die anyway, you just want to find someone and put their brains out. So they have like really awkward sex.
This is one of the least sexy sex scenes I think I've ever seen. It was really just like
pushing at his shoulders.
Yeah.
It was just like I didn't believe. Like, why are they doing this? It almost felt like a sex scene just for the sake of a sex scene. Always felt a bit pissed off.
Because he gets his hands on her back and that spreads the infection, I think. Like, that was the only purpose of them getting into that position.
Yeah, I felt a bit annoyed as well because I kind of thought, right, so he's sexually assaulted someone and then now he's, like, getting laid. I'm almost like, come on, dude.
Whilst his girlfriend played in the game. Shed. Well, she's not his girlfriend, but, you know.
Not his girlfriend, but yeah, she's in the shed. She's in the shed, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. So then What's-Her-Face starts to get worse now. So it starts off with the back marks, and she's like, Paul, you really wrecked my back. You've got cabin fever all over your back. Yeah. You quit your nails. I played classical guitar. Thank you very much. And
I've got a little cocaine finger now, actually. This one. Perfect little bump.
So she starts to get symptoms pretty quick, I believe. I think she gets in a bath and then that's it. It's game over.
Yeah.
She's shaving.
You know, like
legs.
When you're.
Yeah, shaving your legs.
Yeah. Hot bath and your skin goes all a bit red. It's just like that, but with an extra. Skinny and disease, and she thinks, oh, I'll shave these legs, they're ever so prickly.
This is
pretty effective, though.
Wouldn't you feel like, I'll just not shave my legs today? They don't need it.
It almost looks like she doesn't realize because she's kind of crying and doing it, but then it's not until like she shaves the third amount of flesh off of her leg that she kind of screams like she didn't notice before.
Out of all the gory bits in the film, that's the only bit that got to me because I could just imagine like the razor going over the infection. It's like, ugh, gross.
Yeah.
It was effective. It was definitely one of those moments.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So where's Bert? What's he up to at this point?
So I think at this time, like the people from the convenience store, like the family of Pat Sharp, they all kind of decide that they're going to come up to the cabin and fuck shit up. They all like bring guns and stuff, I guess, because they realize something's going down.
Bert back.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, okay. And they shoot Bert in the stomach or something, right?
So I don't think they get there yet.
Okay.
I think initially, Marcy, who's covered in blood, runs outside. And she gets mauled to death by Dr. Mambo. Dr. Mambo!
Yeah. But Dr. Mambo also gets in the shed, right? And he's just like munching away on Karen's face.
Yeah. So Dr. Mambo is having a whale of a time. He's just...
Why is Dr. Mambo like trying to hunt them? Like he's...
Yeah.
Maybe it's the cabin fever smell. Or
we're almost something. Made to fit that, like, Dr. Mambo is just like, as soon as there's blood, yeah. Almost like a shark, suddenly Dr. Mambo wants to feed.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And around
no
about.
Relation ever to that, is there?
Yeah.
Around about this time, Paul discovers the hermit's corpse floating in a reservoir nearby. And then we get a classic following some pipes to realize it leads to the cabin, as if we wouldn't put two and two together. But, you know.
He pokes with a stick as well, right? And then the ladder breaks and he tumbles in.
Yeah. To be fair, when that ladder broke, I felt for him. I was like, oh, no. Of all the places you could fall directly on top of the floating corpse. it's unlucky, but so basically it's all kicked off now. People are dying. Paul goes back, finds Marcy's remains, Dr. Mambo feeding on Karen, and he kills Dr. Mambo, who's going for him as well for some reason,
and he's not got a cabin fever, although he might have now he fell in the water. I don't know why dog's motives are.
Yeah, nor do I, but I'm kind of thinking Paul could have got it out of about one of 10 ways at this point.
Yeah.
He definitely would have got it falling into the lake with the corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he fall in with his mouth open? He swallowed a load of water. Yeah. Screwed.
Okay, so now the people turn up, right? They're not the hunters, but the Petros shop owners, they turn up with guns.
Yeah.
And they kill Bert with a bullet.
Yeah, so they kill Bert. Isn't he just like, he's in the cabin, he's pretty much dying, and he sort of waits in the cabin with his gun, and as soon as they open it, they just shoot him. That's right, isn't it? He didn't get much.
Sorry, yeah.
He didn't get much of a fitting end, really, does he? Well, I say fitting end, but he didn't really get any sort of end.
Take one out on his way down.
I think it's only, what's his name, that takes him out, right? It's
Paul hits one of them in the face with a shovel.
Yeah.
So Paul hits one, he falls back and shoots the other one, and that's then right, he hits the other one with like a screwdriver.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The stupid one.
Why is three? First of all, why is Paul suddenly so? Like good at
we don't know his history. His history of violence. He was an assassin at some point.
All they would have had to do, right, is not make him sexually assault somebody, and he would have been a much better protagonist. Somebody that we would have been actually rooting for. As soon as he does that, it's like, well, can't wait for him to die now. And he doesn't. He sort of has a redeeming arc essentially for a while, doesn't he? Killing people.
Does he though? Because the people are trying to contain. I mean, I know they're not doing the best way, but they're trying to contain the virus, and then he just starts killing them all, and then he goes, "I'm going to go spread this virus." Because he's all bloody, and he walks and he goes to the campfire.
Yeah, but why?
Why?
What's the point? Come on, man! You just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. So he gets. By the way, the makeup of Karen when she's had her lips. Bit off was pretty good, I thought. Pretty horrific. So he gets to the party. There's like Winston, the police person's there. They're all playing songs. I can't remember what song they're playing. It might be a made up one. All songs are made up though.
Oh yeah, so, it's a really weird song. It's a really weird song and like a really shit song.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like the kind of song that somebody just is literally making up on the spot, and you go, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Come on, mate. Go back and put some effort in.
This is why Paul isn't the hero, because he starts attacking the people. I think he elbows a harmonica down someone's throat.
Yeah, that's
which isn't
good.
Possible.
Okay, but if he's not the hero, then why haven't we got a hero? Why is there not a hero in this?
I think when Paul arrives in this like weird underage drinking party thing, he I think he's trying to get the help, but then they get the call in on the radio, don't they, to say like, oh, these kids are infected, shoot them. And then that's why it all gets
guys.
Yeah, but the musicians weren't going to. They probably would have run away or something. He,
I think one of the musicians was saying, what are you waiting for? Shoot him. The musicians wanted him to die, all right? They deserved it.
Okay, I don't know if they deserve to die.
Interrupting the terrible song.
Yeah.
I don't know if the harmonica guy dies, does he? Because he's definitely just inhaled a harmonica and is playing.
Well, it's like horizontal in his throat.
Like a cartoon. Cartoon, yeah. Also, when he turns up, he's like, hey, what's the cop called? Deputy Winston. What happened to the tow truck? And he's like, ah, oh, goddamn, I forgot it. He reminds me of? He looks a little bit like Norman Reedus, but like shit, yeah. Norman Reedus.
Yeah, he got the bad genes. He's like the clone. Yeah. That should have got he's a twin that should have got eaten in the womb, but...
In 20 years, you're going to be a protagonist in a Hideo Kojima video game. He's like, nah. What, me? Deputy Winston? Don't think so. Underage drinkers?
I kind of felt like he was a character from Superbad. Like, he would have been more at home in, like, the police team.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
They kind of needed to, like, dial into his comedy a little bit more, though, I think, because, again, another character in this film that kind of is not one thing or another. Kind of feel like I needed more from him.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's his name? Starts smashing everyone up. Winston gives him... Oh, no, he bashes Winston. He does something to Winston. Doesn't kill him, but he knocks him out,
I think.
Yeah.
Clocks him on the noggin, yeah.
And then he gets in a... he gets hit by a truck or something.
It's weird. He like lies down in front of a truck, but the truck stops, and then they take him to hospital?
Yeah.
That's what he does? Maybe he thinks that's the only way he's going to be able to get to hospital, is if, you know, because if he just flags one down... Maybe they'll know that there's some kids out there with a flesh-eating disease. I don't know. Who knows how it works?
Yeah.
So at the hospital, there's like the local authorities are asking him how he got the disease. I think he tries to tell them but can't quite because he's parched, ironically enough.
I'm dying for a Fanta. If you've got a Fanta on you, have you got 50p for the can machine, please? Sorry, it's a pound. These days, inflation.
And he tries to scream.
Oh, fuck!
So then the local authorities are like, okay, we'll sort it out. And they go to the cabin where Blondie has been living in a cave or something. He goes into the cabin. He's like, he's rejoicing because he's made it and he's dead good. Really proud of himself. But then there's like about 20 people with machine guns or shotguns or something, and they start blasting him up. So he's dead. And then so the ending is really weird because it looks like the town goes on as if it's all normal. Paul is now like dying in a ditch, but isn't quite dead. He hasn't survived, but he won't survive. And then the town is like, oh, it's like selling lemonade. It's like lemonade stands there. They're having a whale at a time with the water. Water fights.
Yeah, the kids water polo. Took earlier, didn't they? They got the water out the lake.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then we get the really weird ending bit, which is the punchline to that joke with a guy. Some gangsters turn up randomly. They look like gangsters. I don't know.
To think they're gangsters, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's proper, like, I don't know if it's quite racial stereotype in there, isn't it? Like, they play some hip hop music and then these three black characters.
Almost makes me feel like Eli Roth had this joke and he was like, right, I've got this joke, I've got this visual payoff that I want to put in a film. And he wrote a film simply to have that payoff in there. He had that ready to go. Years before he wrote any scripts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously they turn up, and the store owner from earlier who said that the gun was for the N-words, he was actually cleaning it for these lovely folk. Was he cleaning it, fixing it? And he's like, here it is.
He's holding
and he kind of like, he kind of greets them with like, what does he do? Like fist bump them and nice. Oh,
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see it coming. It was... out of left field, it was kind of ridiculous.
I had to like rewind and like kind of watch the minute before that, going like, "Wait, where the hell did that just come from?"
it's pretty nuts.
But I mean, that kind of sums up the tone of the movie. I mean, it is a bit all over the place in a way.
Yeah,
But yeah, it's interesting. I'll give it that. It's not. It's an easy watch.
Mm.
It doesn't. It's not a good at all.
So then the kind of the final bit is that at the convenience store, these kids have like been making lemonade. They've used some water from the creek, and they're sampling it to everybody, aren't they? They're like giving it to people, giving it to police officers. And then there is a bit in the post credits as well, which is like there's a large truck filled with like a water truck, and I guess it's like been taking water from the creek as well.
Yeah.
And that being seen leaving the store, so I guess we're trying to make to think the cabin fever is gonna take over. And there we go.
Yeah.
Has it got like a 2000s new metal song playing at the end? I feel like it.
No, they got a country song.
The town are like playing on their ukuleles and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got some trivia.
There we go. Okay.
You ready, Ryan?
Yep.
Okay. Number one, which big shot Hollywood director stopped production of his movie to screen Cabin Fever to his cast and crew not once but three times?
Jesus. So, the film came out in 2002, so there's got to be something around then. I'm just trying. Sorry, Ben. Carry on.
I'm gonna say Tarantino, just because I knew he loved him at one point, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. You going to Tarantino?
Yeah, why not?
I was gonna guess the same. Yeah.
Actually, Peter Jackson. When they were filming Return of the King, he stopped because he's such a big fan of the film.
Oh my god!
To play it to his, well, it's Peter Jackson, so like a dead alive.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Okay, number two, who got out a ruler to measure an ass crack during the making of the film?
Guessing Eli Roth. And, I mean, I don't. Why would anyone else? Yeah. I don't know. Unless he was really wanted it in the shot. He's like, I need 3 centimeters of ass crack. Any less.
Hang on. Okay. So I'll have to read this whole thing out here. So, during her sex scene with Ryder Strong, Eli Roth wanted Karina Vincent to be completely naked. But Vincent, who had previously played a student who never wore clothes in Not Another Teen Movie, was concerned that overexposing herself would lead to her being typecast and refused to bear her rear in Cabin Fever. The standoff between director and actress became so intense that Vincent informed Roth that if he truly wanted a naked ass in the scene, he would have to get another actress to play the role. Eventually, they came to a compromise, and she said, you can show 1 inch of my ass on the film, no more, no less. So when they started to film it, Roth brought a ruler, and he literally measured the amount of ass crack on view to make sure that they were getting their maximum, getting their, like, money's worth of butt crack.
Can you imagine that standoff? And she was like, you can show 1 inch, and he just had that ready to go.
How would she know? How would he, like, measure it, and then he could just pull it down a bit more, or, I don't know, that's 1 inch. It's like the entire 30 centimeters. Yeah, it's
how would you maintain that as well? Because surely if she was, like,
tape,
wrapped in,
there's like
wrapped
a tape,
in some sheets.
Okay. Tape on the butt.
Makes sense.
So it was Eli Roth. Well done. Number three, which scene was made upon the spot on account of someone having a black belt?
On account of someone having a what, sorry?
A black belt.
Black belt. It must be that kid.
Yeah. The pancake scene was made up during filming after Eli Roth saw Matthew Helms, Matt Sharp, practicing taekwondo during a break. He discovered the Helms was a real-life black belt, so he decided to add a scene to give the chance for the kid to show off his moves.
Good stuff.
There we go, the real hero of the film.
Yeah. Number four, how many times does the Winston character say the word party?
I'm going to say 7 times.
Okay, 7. What are you going for, Ben?
Sorry, Ryan, I'm going to go for 8.
Actually, 15. He says the word party 15 times.
Party.
On a name game round. So, Ryan, if you're aware, name game is where the name of the film is Cabin Fever. So, there'll be another name of another film that will rhyme or sound very similar to Cabin Fever. And I'll give you the synopsis, and you have to say the name of the film. That's so confusing.
It's made up films, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, so this film is about a group of teenagers who go to the woods and develop killer asthma.
So they go to the woods, develop asthma. And it's got a rhyme with cabin fever.
To a degree.
to a degree.
Half rhyme.
Half rhyme. Cabin fever. Fever.
Oh, I'm going to be rubbish at this game.
Oh my God. I can't even think of a single word. I feel like I'm going to let you down here, Luke.
If Andy was here. Cabin Weezer.
I was trying to think Weezer, but then I couldn't think of what the first word would be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's still in the cabin.
Are they all in the cabin?
Yeah.
Right, I got it.
It's not, You can fill in the details. It's not a real film, so...
Yep.
They're all in the cabin. Okay, so we need to rate the film. Well done, by the way, you all got 5 out of 5.
Oh, was there only one? I was waiting for more than one of them.
You like them.
Yeah, I do like. Give me another one, please.
Some kids go to a cabin, and they have to. They all get. They all eat bad chutney, and they're all throwing up.
Chutney. Cabin.
Come on, you're 5 seconds. Three.
Cabin. Cabin, two. I don't know. This is difficult this week, Luke.
Cabin heaver. Well, I did make it up on the spot.
Heaver. You made up on the spot? Just like the Taekwondo kid at this scene.
Pancakes. Okay. It's been to rate the film. Ryan, as your guest for this week, did you want to give us your rating?
Yeah. So going by the letter ratings you guys do, probably say is around about a D, because I think we were chatting before about D would be sort of like a 2.5. I didn't think it was great.
Okay.
Maybe a D plus.
Okay.
Interesting.
Ben, what are you going to go for?
So I think I'm feeling pretty similar to Ryan in terms of like how much I enjoyed it. But at the same time, I think it's got a few, even though it's kind of like of its time, it's still got a few like redeemable qualities to it. So even though it feels a bit dated, I can kind of see why people would have enjoyed it and why you probably would still enjoy it now. Characters are lacking for me. I feel like if I had better characters, it might have been a better film. I just feel like there's no characters that have got any redeemable qualities. There's no clear protagonist. There's no one really that isn't just a total douche. So for that reason, I think I'm going to go for a D plus as well.
Okay, well, I agree with all of those points, but I will say I feel like this film is still quite fun. I feel like it's got a lot of fun moments. It's very silly, even if it may be intentional or not. I don't know, like the pancake scene. I don't know. It's a very watchable film. I was going to give it a C plus.
Oh, a C plus. Yeah. Have you gone hella high up? Yeah. Okay, you're always more generous than me anyway, Luke, so why change now, eh?
Yeah. Ryan, so where can people follow you remotely?
I do some reviews on Instagram, not just horror films, just I do new films. So if you search Chiz Reviews, Chiz Reviews on Instagram, you'll find those. When the cinemas are back open, I'll hopefully get some new ones on the go.
Is it only
new films or
I started it just to it's only for my own benefit really, just to like keep track of what I'm seeing, and if I'm writing down what I'm seeing and letting other people know like what I thought of them, I'm more motivated to keep checking out what's being released.
Cool. So Ben, you're at Ben_Errington
at Ben_Errington on everything.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not everything, but you know, all the stuff that matters.
Cool. And I'm Luke of Condor K on just about everything, I think. So become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting this show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating and review on iTunes. Remember to hit subscribe. Come over to the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a rare dude, but many, many thanks to our guest this week, Mr. Ryan Chisholm. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ryan. It's been a pleasure.
No worries, guys. Thank you for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Nice, indeed. Very fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.